The millennium has to do with the age which is yet to come. This is not going to happen in our day. Chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore, wait upon me until that day. And on that day he gathers the nations, that's the United Nations already, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour on them my indignation. So the purpose of the United Nations is not to do good. It's actually that God might judge them. Even all my fierce anger for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. After that, I will turn to the Gentiles a pure language. So all of the Gentiles, who all have different languages, actually will speak a common language, a pure language, which is the language of the Spirit. And they will give praise to God. And that language is now being learned, but it isn't yet our worldwide language. That they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that means looking from Israel beyond the Nile River and beyond probably the Congo, but anyway, at least the rivers of Ethiopia, into what is called today the southern part of Africa, or the lower part of Africa, perhaps also even West Africa. But in all of that Bantu-speaking Africa, God has dispersed His people, and they will bring an offering. In that day, Israel will never again be ashamed for the things she's done, and she'll no longer be haughty. But until that day, she will be haughty. So history is not going to change that. There's nothing one can do to change what God has said. He's just telling you ahead of time, but you better watch out, because any nation that judges them will be judged by God severely. You have to show mercy to them and to get in with the program of God, which is we pay. When someone does wrong, we take the fault. Amen? So you got to learn in your own life to take responsibility for your life. You've got to say, look, whatever's going wrong in the world, I take the responsibility for it. It's up to me. It's my doing. So most of us are, you know, trying to vindicate ourselves. Well, I didn't do anything. Well, I don't think it was my fault. I didn't do wrong. Well, that's the wrong attitude. It's always your fault. Even when it's not your fault, you take responsibility. Hello? Got one person that said yes. We're so accustomed to being victims. Well, I didn't do wrong. Someone else did wrong. That's why I'm unhappy. No, you're unhappy because you're a sinner. Hello? No, if you're not happy, you chose not to be happy. And you made a wrong choice. You can only choose one thing, be happy. Jesus said it this way, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, there's a command for you. You don't have a choice. You have no option. Well, I think I won't right now. No, you have to. If you're born again, if you're a new creation, then the old has passed away, the new has come. You have to be happy all the time. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that make you feel miserable to have to be happy all the time? But you're always wrong with God. You're never a victim. You're always a culprit. You're always guilty. At any rate, God says there will come a day, but it's the millennium. There will come a day when I will change everything. But I ask you now to do it by faith, before I change it, before you see it. I want you to start rejoicing now. Start living in the millennium now. You see, the millennium is going to be heaven on earth to the eyes. We'll actually see it. But right now, it's heaven on earth to faith, which doesn't see it, because faith is substance. In other words, just because God said it, that's enough for me. Now, that's how you can tell who's a Christian and who's not. Those that wait to see it are not Christians. But those that rejoice now as though it were already the harvest time, that's a Christian. Because faith is the victory, not sight. Seeing it is not the victory. It isn't that we pray and then things happen and then we say, oh, well, then there is a God. No. It's that before you pray, before you call upon God, you already believe it. It's substance to you. So how many know you're having a wonderful time right now? Everything's going your way. All things work together for the good. That means there's nothing going wrong. But you're not going to get to see that. You have to just take it by faith. Just, if your father said that's the way it is, then that's the way it is. So don't give a bad report. Give a good report. So you just say, well, it doesn't look good, but Dad says it's good, so it's good. And that's the way you have to learn to talk. That's not just theology. That's just not interesting. That's your very life. But it'll kill you. That will kill you. If you have any flesh left in you, you won't do it. Flesh will insist upon, well, I just don't see it. You know, that's the way flesh is. Well, if I could understand it. You know, that's the way flesh is. Well, I don't feel like doing it. Well, too bad. Hello? God has no patience with the flesh. The flesh is demonic. So we don't respect it either. Hello? So a lot of times when you're talking, you're just talking out of your flesh. So we don't regard what you say. We totally disregard you. Hello? Whenever Peggy's angry at me, I disregard her. She's in the flesh. You see? So if she says something, I just cut her right off. Oh, she's in the flesh. Because only when she says, Jim, you know, you're the most wonderful husband in the world. Ah, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. Amen. I receive that, you see. Now, that works all over the place. But the point is, I don't receive negative words from people. When they say something negative, I know they're nuts. They're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. Because they disagree with God. God sees all my sins, but his conclusion is, I love you. Oh, what a conclusion. He sees all my sins and he loves me. He sees none of my virtues, because I don't have any. He doesn't see any of my virtues. So I know if Peggy would ever say, you're a wonderful husband, if she said it because she just saw something, I know I'll get it the next minute. But if she just says it freely, just kind of out of the blue, then I'll know that was God. You hear what I'm saying? So when we say, I love you, we don't mean it. That is, we don't mean you look like you're lovable. We just mean God made us say it. Hello? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because God said, don't go by what you see or feel, experience or want or desire or anything else. Go by what I say. And so he said, bless everybody. That's just a command. That's why he commanded it, because you couldn't figure it out. I would have never figured out that I should love you. I would always have seen some flaw to say, you know, I would have loved you, but I was going to love you, but then, you know, you spoke. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying. So the Bible is not just talk. It's not just trying to get people to become church members. The Bible is telling you this is happiness. Now, I'm going to say this before I get into Zephaniah. What I get out of Zephaniah today, that is what I believe God showed me today, is that everything boils down to the personal. The national is nothing. It doesn't care what nation you're from, what tribe, what race, what people, where you're physically from. It all boils down to you personally. It doesn't matter whether you're an American or not, or whether you're from some given background. What matters is you personally. So forget your tribe, forget your nation, forget your group, forget your fraternity, forget where you're from. God has singled you out and said, I hold you personally responsible to rejoice always. You hear what I'm saying? So you can't say, well, it's hard in America, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. No, no, we don't want to hear about that. We don't care about it's hard in America. We don't care if it's hard or it's easy. We don't really care anything about your background, who you are, where you came from, what you did yesterday, you know, that you were born that way. We don't care about all that nonsense. We don't regard any of that because God has spoken. Now, if God hadn't said anything, then we could fall for your nonsense. Hello? If God hadn't said anything, but he did. He said not only something, he said everything. He said, people don't know anything. That's the first thing he said. So that means we don't regard what people have to say. We don't respect our institutions. And we don't worship them. Hello? They're flawed, just like we are. Our institutions are exactly like us. They're flawed. So what God is saying, so what? I'm not. And as long as I'm in the world, as long as I'm there with you personally, not far away, not up in heaven, as long as I'm there with you, I'll never leave you or forsake you, you have no excuse. Everyone want to watch the little child? As long as I'm in the world, you must rejoice always and love and never be afraid and so on and so forth. Now, isn't that interesting? What a powerful statement to make, not to the nation, not to the church, not to the body, not to some political party, not to something large, but to you individually. Because what I'm going to show you today out of Zephaniah, which is true of all the prophets, is they're not telling you about the millennium or about, you know, how judgment follows hope or hope follows judgment or, you know, try to get your theology all sorted out. They're not really interested in theology. They're interested in you personally getting a hold of the gospel. Every prophet has that in mind. He doesn't have in mind speaking to Israel as a nation. Of course, he says it. Hear, O Israel. But what he's after is the remnant, that is, those individuals inside of Israel, those individuals inside of Judah, who are going to develop a personal righteous relationship to God, and develop it in such a way that it changes their entire life for now and all eternity. You hear what I'm saying? So, for example, we're not really trying to fix up our society. You know, we're not trying to fix up society. We're not really trying to fix up our economy. We're not really trying to fix up our political system. We're not really trying to fix up our religions. Okay? What God wants to say is, out of all of this, there are individual people. And it's true, they belong to families and nations and tongues and tribes and they have all these dimensions to them and so on. But God has no interest in that. God wants to isolate this individual and have a personal relationship with that individual and say, the reason why you're mine, the reason why I purchased you is because I bought you out of your tribe, out of your background, out of the economy, the politics, everything. I bought you and now I want you to live for me forever. And so there are religions, but not all religions are good. There are politics, but not all politics are good. There are economics, but not all economics are good. Okay? There is a society, but not all societies are good. So God tells you which ones are good. The society that He pulls out with His individuals make a whole new society, new economy, new politics, and new religion. Now, that's what God wants. That's His everlasting deal. And so He pulls it out of the nations. Now, the personal dimension is the only dimension. So what happens to America, the destiny of America, you know, what happens to politics, whether we're capitalists or socialists or this or that or what, that's nothing. The issue is whether you belong to God. And if you do, there's a certain way you have to do your politics, certain way you do your economics, certain way you do your personal lives, certain way you do your family, certain way you do your, you know, your social relationships. In other words, God wants total control. And He wants to build a nation inside the nations that's a light. And He calls that the church. That is the church. The church is not this thing. This is not the church. This is just a gathering. Okay? And there's some non-church people here. Not everyone here is born again. We can have, you know, strangers walk in. Anybody can walk in. So you don't become a Christian by going to church. You know, you're just parked here for a while. So we don't know whether you're a Christian or not. We don't really care. That's your business between you and God. And we just kind of dish it out, and if you take it, that's good. If you don't, it's no problem. This is just kind of a post office here. We just deliver the mail. And if you got a letter, take it. But God's people are the people that fall in love with Him who are totally, 100%, completely happy in heaven already. Now, in the Old Testament, he was trying to tell Israel, hey, look, I give you two deals. I'll give you works and faith. I'll give you, you can please me by works, or you can please me by faith. And guess which one they took? Actually, it's easier to go the works way. All right, I'm going to be good. All right, I'm going to try to be good. I'm going to do the best I can. Why would they do that? Because everybody hates the faith way. I tell you, the faith way is, it's easier to go the works way. Even though 430 years prior to Moses, who taught the, you know, the works way, Moses, Abraham had a deal. And it was a one-way deal where God says, look, Abraham, I don't care what you do, here's what I'm going to do. That was totally by faith. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. He didn't say, Abraham, if you'll do this, I'll do that. He just simply said, Abraham, I'm going to do this. And Abraham believed the guy, and he counted to him as righteousness. Now, that's one way to live in life. But you have to choose it. Everybody here is born, but not everybody here knows the answer. That's why you have politics and religion and all this stuff to try to give you some answers. But you have to figure it out for yourself, individually, personally. No one can tell you. You can join a church, but that doesn't tell you anything. You still have to know for yourself, personally. Jesus said, yes, but who do you say that I am? You, personally, Peter. Well, I mean, I'd say, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. You know, but that just kind of blurped out of his mouth. I don't think he was even thinking of that. I think it just kind of came out because Jesus said, that was a revelation from my Father. Because the only way you could know Jesus was the Son of God is the Father reveal it. You can't know it just because you're in the tribe. Judas was there that day and he didn't know it. Judas was standing there. He saw all the same miracles, went to the same meetings, brushed his teeth alongside Jesus like everybody else. That didn't help. Herod saw Jesus. That didn't help. Seeing Jesus is nothing. Being with Jesus. Oh, I wish I could just see Jesus. What for? What for? Well, I think it'd make a difference. Well, it wouldn't. Make no difference at all. You'd be the same mess you are right now. Hello? Hello? But we have this illusion that, you know, if we could suddenly see Jesus, it'd make a difference. Boy, if I could have a vision like Pastor Jim and Robert, you know, what a difference it would make. It doesn't make a difference at all. You can have miracles, signs, wonders, visions, and they fade within minutes. You can live off of them for about, you know, 42 minutes or something, you know. And then you've forgotten. You're right back to your normal self. How many know that people with visions and even great things that God has done can still fall back into the flesh? Yeah, it's no advantage. It's no advantage, no advantage, no advantage. You don't need anything more than the Word of God. Oh, I wish I had an experience. What for? Oh, if I had one, I would really know. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You'd get into more illusions. So, I mean, it's good to have experiences, but they don't add anything. They don't add anything. What you need is the Word of God. You say, oh, that's so shabby, so nothing-ish. No, that's everything. Everything's in the Word. Faith is the victory. I mean, that Word's everything. What God wrote down. Well, I know, but when I read it, it doesn't have a lot of meaning to me. Well, so what? Well, meaning to who? Well, to my head, to my emotions. You know, all you're talking about is the flesh. That word will never mean anything to your flesh. The only meaning it ever has is when your flesh dies, then you got the meaning. That's what it meant to do, was kill you. The flesh wants to kill God, and God's going to kill your flesh. So it's, you know, kill or be killed. That's all there is. That's it. When you read that book, the only purpose of reading that book is so your flesh will die and your spirit will be released. Period. You read that book every time, the flesh dies. I mean, it's kind of a race. You can almost see you're reading through it in the flesh, you know. You're reading through it to see if you're going to make it to the end of the sentence before he gets you. Right? Oh, God, give me a revelation. But, you know, that's often the flesh wanting it. And that's why you don't get it. You read one verse and another and another and another. You don't get it until you realize, I hate God. Now you're getting a revelation. Whoa, I hate God. That's right. That's your flesh. I hate people. Yeah, now you're getting it. Oh, I hate myself. You're really catching on. Oh, I hate everything. I'm just hatred. Now you're really getting it. Now hear what God has to say of you. God says, I love you. Wow. That doesn't compute. That doesn't add up. Why would God love me when I hate everybody? Him and him too. Because he loves your spirit, not your flesh. But he loves you while you're still in the flesh. That's what's amazing. He doesn't love you because you're potential. No, he loves you. The real you, the nasty, awful, ugly, terrible, average, everyday you that we know. That you hide so well. But it does show a little bit. Some of your buttons are open, say. We see more than you know. You see, even when our brains are not figuring out who you are, our spirits already know. And it might come out a week later. That person's a phony. And I didn't even know I thought that, but just there it was, right there. Yeah, that person's a phony. Whoa! I knew more than I knew that I knew. You see? We actually know each other immediately. So somebody judges and says, I don't like you. They actually may like you. See, they don't know what they know. So I always know when someone says they don't like me, that they don't know. They actually do. Because I'm likable. Hello? How could you not like me? But, you know, people get this crazy idea they don't. I just disregard it. That's just their flesh. They don't know what they know. Because the same one that loves you doesn't love you. The same one that hates you doesn't hate you. In other words, flesh is always mixed up. I've never met a person yet that's anything but inconsistent. They're totally inconsistent. Totally contradictory. One minute they say this, the second they say this. They don't even know what they want. Because man has never yet figured out who he is. Never, 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 never. He's a total contradiction. A rational man turns out to be irrational. An irrational man turns out to be as rational as you and I. You cannot figure people out. So God just says it easily. Man's worthless. There it is. Then he says, and I love him. There it is. And then he says, and I'm going to use him. There it is. That's it. Now those three statements are non sequitur. Those three statements don't make sense. Man's no good, and I love him, and I'm going to use him. There's no relationship to those statements. The first one should be, man's no good, and I'm going to kill him. Now that would make sense to me. I'm just going to wipe him out and start with angels. The two-thirds that I got, the good ones. But God doesn't do that. The minute God shows you you're no good, that's the minute you understand that he loves you.
Amen.
As long as you defend yourself and say, well, I'm a little bit decent, not a lot, but I got a little bit of decency in me. Well, then you'll never hear God. Because God doesn't think you have any. So it's very personal. When you come into this world, here you are. I am. I exist. I have being. But now, who am I? What am I to do? What should I think? What should I feel? What should I want? What should I do? Well, no answer. Church can give you an answer. Muhammad can give you an answer. Politics can give you an answer. There's all kinds of answers out there, but no one tells me which answer is right. Each one tells me they're the right answer, but I don't know. How do I know that what they said is right? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you don't know. Well, this church says they're right and the others are wrong. This church says they're right and the others are wrong. This church says all churches are right. This church says all churches are wrong. You know, I mean, you can't figure anything out. So if you go around trying to pick up everybody's opinion, you just get more confused.
Amen. That's right.
So just stay here because we've told you the truth. Isn't that funny? But you can't figure it out. No matter what, you've just got to make a personal decision. Now, if I say to you, everything's going your way, everything's working out great, I just quoted that from the Bible. I got a scripture, and that's what it said. Do you hear what I'm saying? So, then I say, so God wants you to be happy. There's no explanation for it. There's no, I mean, where's the footnotes on that? You know, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, I want a footnote on that. How did that work? I look at the world and I don't particularly like it. So should I fix it or change myself? Neither. Oh. See, because logically I figure, well, either I'm going to change everybody else, which, you know, it's a lot of work, so maybe I'll just start with my husband. I'll start with my mother, you know. I'll just start local. And then I'll kind of advance to all humanity. And then instead, that gets me so worn out, I just become a drunk. Because I can't stand thinking about that. It's too big a job, so I just drink, and you know, I'm okay now. Now I can make it. But now I feel guilty. And now, not only is everybody else a mess, so am I. So now, but if I can't stop drinking, because now that I'm into that, I don't want to quit, because then I'd have to go back to hating everybody else. Hello! So can't you see how people are crazy? They're all mixed up. So if you take away the booze, then they have to face insanity. Can't you see you're an idiot drinking? Of course they can see it. Can't you see that they'd go crazy if they didn't? Living with you? But we can't. We just go, what's wrong with you? But they can see it all. They just know they're not up to it. Because in the beginning they thought, this is a moral world. I will be moral. I will be good. Well, there's a crazy thought right there. That is crazy. I will do what I am told. You don't see the humor of that. That is stupid. But no one's going to ever conclude, this is a wicked world, I'm wicked, I'm just going to have a blast. That is not a conclusion that people make. But that one makes sense. That one actually works. That one works. Because Jesus comes along and says, if I got any sinners here, I came not for the righteous, but just for the sinners. And he finds a little bitty group. And these are the only ones going for it. And those are the only ones he can get. The other ones, the moral ones, he has to wait till they break down. Because sooner or later, your morality will give out. And you'll start, you know, cursing and swearing and getting angry and mad and falling apart. And or if you don't, all your relatives will. Right? So you can hold out as long as you want, but you better learn that falling apart is the secret to staying together. The only reason we can be a church is because we're all a mess. We're not a church because we're successful. We're not a church because everybody, you know, is strong and they've made it and they're very intelligent and so on. We're a church because we're all idiots. Everybody here is an idiot who was formerly very intelligent. Amen? I mean, in our old lives, we're all very brilliant. Amen? Now Zephaniah, because that's what this is all about, Zephaniah has something to say. All right. Now, I want to go back to chapter 7, to chapter 2. This is addressed to Israel, okay? Only Israel has now become just Judah, all right? So, you remember, all of Israel, here's the Holy Land, okay? Here's the Dead Sea, and here's Jerusalem, here's the Jordan River, here's Mount Hermon, and so on. Here's the Mediterranean Sea, and here's Africa and Saudi Arabia and so on. Now, this Israel thing goofed up. So Assyria, which is over here up on the Tigris, Euphrates River, is right there on the Tigris, on the lower Zab. Now, this guy here conquered all the northern tribes. So there were 10 northern tribes, so they're out of business. Now, the only group left is Judah, Yehuda, which means praise. How many know praise is still there? Praise is going to save you. I mean, you know, what God wants is praisers. How many here, don't raise your hand, but how many here have made praise your whole life? I mean, it's everything. It's just one hallelujah to another. Amen. Isn't that your whole life? I tell you, nobody's ever thought of that. Praise is the last thing in the world we want to do. Praise is the last thing in the world we want to do, but it's what God wants. God wants us always to be filled with praise. And my mouth shall be filled with praise. But that's the last thing we want to do. We want to gripe. How many here are gripers? Yes. You know, moaners, complainers, you know, factual giver-outers, you know. We're all full of that. Well, if you could hear my story, you'd be as depressed as me. Could I tell it to you? You know. And so we're all loaded with stories. Let me just tell you. That's why, you know, it's hard to get along with people. You know, what dog has ever told you his story? That's why, get a dog. They never tell you their story, you know. They're always happy to see you. You know. And so, you know, you'll get along great with a dog. But people always want to tell you, oh, I'll tell you, it's been a rough day. You just don't know. Honey, you wouldn't have said that if you'd known what a day I've just had. Forget it. Your mouth should be full of praise. Every minute of every day, when I wake up in the morning, my kids hate it. Hallelujah, wake up, you know. Every day I'm that way. And Margaret is, Dad, get out, get away, let me sleep. David's the same way, I knock on the door, Dave, wake up, it's Jesus Day. Oh, Dad, let me sleep, it's only 9:30. And Kirsten, you know, comes up and, you know, she's all stumbling through, you know. Hi, Dad. You know, they're like this. Hi, Dad. Hey, glory! You know? But I'm full of praise all the time. I love just praise God. I'm so happy. What a family I got. Great, you know? I don't pay attention to all that. Yahoo, glory! They always say stuff like this. Dad, you're an idiot. Dad, you're crazy. You know, that doesn't bother me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm an idiot. Glory. Because I'm doing what Jesus said. They can choose for themselves. I don't make them choose. I just, you know, show them that you could be an idiot like me if you want. Hello. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus loves me, you see. I'm just pleasing that guy because that's the only guy that told me the truth. That's the guy that said, Jim, you don't know anything, so do it my way. Just do it my way. Don't think about it. Just do it. And so the way Jesus chooses for us actually works. It's the only thing that works. And, you know, it's amazing how God will exalt you when you don't look for exaltation. God will actually put you forward if you just seek Him. Now, I know a lot of you have tried that. Say, well, I tried praising for about a week and it didn't work. Well, I know you can't try it for a week. You're not trying it so it'll work. You just do it. You don't worry whether it'll work or not. You're not trying to work anything. You've already got everything. I'm not doing it so it'll do something. Actually, it irritates people. You know, it doesn't at all. It doesn't bless anybody. You know, they just disregard you. But that doesn't matter. I'll do it for Jesus. I don't live for people. I totally disregard people because they wouldn't like me if I went around moping. How you doing? Great. How you doing? You know, good to see you. Good to see you. You know, I mean, you know, so now, you know, I didn't disturb them anyway, but the point is I didn't help them either. I'd rather irritate them. Amen. You get in an elevator and glory, you know, it just makes everybody nervous. Whoa. It'd been better if you had bad breath, you know. But that's all right. We're here to disturb everybody. Stir them up, you see. We're lights. Whoa. You know, we're lights to the Gentiles. I'll tell you, I've got it. I don't care about anybody else. I've got it. I'm happy being happy. I like being happy. I'm like little kids. That's why I like little kids. Little kids are, you know, they're always happy. And if they're not, you can get them that way real quick. See? You just get down and do something. You know, you ever see a little kid's all sad like this? But you start tickling them or, you know, rolling on the floor or something, and then they start laughing. But adults won't do it. But little kids are great. You know, they just yield right off. You know, they'll try to hold out real hard. And then they just break open. You know, little kids are great. Because they want to be happy. They don't like being miserable. It's not fun for a little kid to be miserable. They think life should be fun. And I agree. I think that's the way Jesus wants it. Except you become like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you're not having a good time down here, when God talks to you someday, He's going to ask you, well, how'd you like that world? Remember I told you, be of good cheer? Remember I told you that? Remember I wrote that down? Be of good cheer? Remember Paul wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. Remember Paul wrote that? Did you do it? And you got to say, no, I didn't. I didn't do it. Now, I'm not afraid of my sin, and that helps, because if you're afraid of sin, you can't live the Christian walk. When I do God's thing, I'm 100%. When I do sin, I'm 100%. Religion, I'm never. I have no religion in me. I'm either rotten to the core or I'm wonderful. And it's totally a miracle. It's just a miracle. It's just like, whoa, praise God. Now, if you want to control your life, you can look better than me. But I'm going to tell you something about control. You won't be able to be happy. Because if you have to control your life, you've not got your eyes on Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus and forget it. You're not going to please people anyway. Nobody likes you anyway. They never have. They never will. Just get real. You're nasty. They're all nasty. So God's good. See, that's the issue, is there's a good God in the midst of all these wicked people, and He just makes the thing work. I don't care how wicked the wicked are, they always bless me. Even my enemies bless me. Wherever I go, I'm at home. Wherever I go, I'm comfortable. I can be in any situation. Send me to prison among the most bestial animals. I'll be happy there. Why? Because of Jesus. Jesus said, now this is where I want you to be for a while. Yahoo! Glory! Hello! Now, you can fear if you want, and you can try to be smart if you want, but you're not going to figure it out. The better way is just forget your reputation. Forget your brilliance. Forget all those things, those little props you use. Let God take care of everything. I believe my God is so good, I'll never have a dull day in my life. I believe God is the one that exalts us. God's the one that puts us forward. You know, I'm going to boast. No, I won't boast. That's stupid. But since you forced me to it. It's fun. I'm just making this up now. Yesterday we spent all day in Austin with the Republican Party, and I'm one of the guys, you know. And it's fun, because I gave this report, and I'm the head of one of the things, and so on. And everybody thought it was great, you know, and it was. But it really wasn't anything. I mean, let's do what Jesus says. But I find most people don't do very much. You hear? So if you do anything, it looks like something. You know, and I did something. And so, wow, that was really wonderful and great. And it was. It was good. But I made Tom, the chairman, look good. See? Because I turned it over to him. You know, I did it and carved it all up and then gave it to him. And he 5 minutes before, no one knows this except me, he didn't know anything about it. Well, what do I do here? And, you know, I said, oh, don't worry. You just get up there and open your mouth and it'll just all come out. It's all there. Whoa, what are all these things here? Well, you know, and he's pointing out a couple of things. And he got up and no one knew it. And when he was done, he was happy. And he had gotten through a big deal, see. Well, that's good because I want to influence the state. I want to influence the political thing. I want to influence the economic thing. I want to influence everything. Well, I'm a Christian. Christians should be somebody. They should do something in this world, not just waste time. Hello? Now, I don't want to do it. I hate politics. It's stupid. I don't think it'll even go anywhere. But I love doing it if that's what God wants. And I feel God told me to do it. So I'm doing it. I don't care about the theology of it or the practicality of it or, you know, who's in or out. You know, the governor doesn't get along with, you know, the party, and the party doesn't get along with so-and-so, and the party's all splintered. And I love it. I love getting right in the midst of all that and going, hallelujah. Everybody always goes, they always come, gee, you have such a tough assignment. I know, it's just awful. But I love every minute of it, you know.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I love it because it's so easy. You just let Jesus do it. They just tell about Jesus. Everyone there is a Christian anyway, so it's kind of fun. It's just kind of home week. It's just like being at home. Everything we ever put up passes. Hello? Don't you know the whole nation's looking at Texas right now? politically, the whole nation is wondering, what's Texas going to do? Because George Bush can't deliver Texas. Who can? We hold the winning ticket. And he doesn't like us. You see? Nobody likes us because we're goofy. And we are. We really are goofy. But you know what? We're the people that believe in the old-fashioned stuff. See, we believe in right and wrong and all this stuff. So it's fun. Because sooner or later, Bob Dole, who called yesterday, Bob Dole has to come to us. Sooner or later, you know, Phil Graham, he also had to call. Everybody has to call now, because now that time of the year, and everybody has to kind of come and curry your favor. And they all lie. They all lie. Well, I'm right where you all are, you know. We've always known that. Yes. You know, first thing out of Phil's mouth was, Tom, I just want you to know I love you. Isn't that phony? But it's good. You know, I like all that stuff. Because the truth is, you know, those guys are doing the best they can. They're doing the best they can. But they're where we are. We're in a different boat. We're in a different deal. We don't believe in that. We don't believe in all that politicking stuff. You know, we're not Republicans or Democrats or whatever we are because we believe in some deal. We believe in certain values that Jesus told us about. That's all. And whoever goes with us, that's the way it's going to be. If nobody goes with us, that's the way it'll be. Now, but the truth is, there's more of us than they wish there were. And so we hold the key to any election. The key to any election still held, not only by the Republican Christian majority, but also by the Democratic. Now, that'll break down also. You'll see the whole thing crumbling and falling apart. Because there's a shift right now. There's a whole change. And it's kind of fun to be in the midst of the fray. Because I believe that Jesus has to do with politics, economics, society, world, everything. I don't think there's anything outside. Amen. Hello. Amen. So, because these prophets are speaking to the whole world, they're not just speaking to Israel, speaking to the whole world about how the world should be, I have a stake in it. I don't want them to ruin the nation before I get done. You see? So that's why I stepped in there so that no one else would get in there. All the time I elect somebody, they always promise to be good representative, and they always betray me. Amen. So I decided the best way to do it then is for me to get in there and stop those other liars from getting in there. Hello. That's it. That's why I'm there. I'm there to prevent somebody else from lying and saying they represent me and all this stuff. They don't. They don't care for me. So I decided I'll get in there, and then we'll see if I keep the truth. You hearing what I'm saying? So, I'm there to stop someone else, and so is almost everybody else. So we're not really politically ambitious. We don't want to go anywhere. We just want to prevent other people from messing the deal up. Because they just throw it away. They throw away your education. They throw away everything. Everything that means anything in this society, they've thrown it away. And every day in the paper, you can read where they've thrown some more stuff away. So you don't have an institution. You don't have a constitution. You don't have anything. So I'm just going and getting some of it back. And at least monkey wrenching their machinery. You know, did you ever see Charlie Chaplin stick those wrenches in those gears, you know? Just kind of go in there and stick a little, throw a little gear in there. I don't want the thing to just efficiently move ahead to destruction. Because I feel God wants prophets to speak out. Now you have to act out. So you can go to a businessman and say, don't do business that way. You can go to a politician and say, we don't want it that way. We want it this way. Hello, are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, it's a messy, dirty deal. So what? So everything's ambiguous. So everything's difficult. So everything's confusing. So what? Why should it be easy? Let it be difficult, hard, impossible. That's life. But we do have a vision. We do have values. We do know where we're going. So what God wants is hold this thing together. And Texas is the only place. I'm telling you, it's the only place right now. The whole world's watching America. All of America's watching Texas. And Tarrant County, which is what I represent, This is one of the key counties. So everything's happening. In fact, Tuesday night, they're going to elect a new chairman. That'll be a big deal. Because whatever way it goes makes a big difference, whether the little people win or not. Now, God wants to show that that's how this nation was founded. Get government out of the road. See, we got too much government now. And it's unlimited government. We want a limited government. We don't want government to do anything except defend us. But now they attack us. You say, they're not defending us. They're letting criminals get to us. They're letting monopolists get to us, Time Warner. Oh, those are monopolies. They're letting everybody get to us. That was their job, was to prevent all those guys from getting to us. They were to let us have our rights, not our responsibilities, just our rights that God gave us. Well, since the government won't do it, we'll either take it away from the government or we'll turn to God. Guess what? We have to turn to God. It's down to that. I tell you, it's so depressing. You just walk around among all those people in the Republican Party and say, well, how's it going? I don't know why I'm even here. Oh, go to the next one. You know, how's it going? Oh, you can't get anything done here. What an attitude they have. Isn't that great? Well, you're a Christian, aren't you? Well, yeah. But this is, you can't get anything done here. How do you know that? Get in there. Hang in there. You know, have fun. So people have lost their way. Hello? Now, I believe it's the job of every citizen to be involved. I'm just a citizen. I'm not a pastor. I'm a pastor and a citizen. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm also a citizen of earth. So anytime I want to, I can change hats. I can be a businessman. I can be a citizen. I can be a pastor. I can be anything I want to be. People up. They don't like it because they think, stay what you really are. I don't want to. Be naughty. Now, I'll tell you what. When you see things running away, why just stand back and watch it and write a notepaper on it? Everything is running away. Why not get in there? Get in there. Hang in there. You're part of this whole deal. If the boat's sinking, stick your finger in the thing. You know, do something. Hello? What if it's the wrong thing? Well, so what? Everybody's doing wrong anyway. What's one more wrong? But it might be the right thing. It just may be that God hath brought Esther to the throne at this hour. It just may be. So I pray, God, show me the one thing necessary here at this meeting today for me to do and me to say. And God chose me. Boom, do this. And I believe that wherever we are, we count. We matter. Yes. And I go around and ask people, well, do you have a plan? Do you know what we should be doing? Do you have it written out? Do you did it? Nobody has anything. Everybody is out. So if nobody else has one, I've got one. Well, I've got one. You know, I have to pull it out. Here's my plan, you know. And I just put it together. Now, God wants you Christians to be salt, to be light, to affect the business you work in. Don't just say, oh, they cheat here. Or they will change it. Pray, fast, have a Bible study. Go to the boss, win him over. You know, who knows what you can do? Get fired. Come on, seriously. What's that? Well, that's the big deal. Don't you have a God? You know, can't God take care of you? Do you really believe in God? Is God really able to deliver? Is he able to do favor unto you? Yes. I'll tell you what. The institutions are quivering, not me. The institutions are quivering. With all their power, all the banks, all the IRS, all the black helicopters, they're the ones quivering, not me. I'm having a good time. I'm having a ball. Everyone out there is confused. I'm not. Are you? You're not confused, are you? Doesn't Jesus love you? Then you're not confused. If Jesus loves you, you got it all. It's the only thought you need to know in the world. My life is always black and white, totally simple. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's the end of the matter. I don't need to know anything else. I don't care about pastoring, fathering, childrening. I don't need to know anything. I just know one thing. Jesus loves me. Now, that is the foundation of all of my capacity, energy, virility, you know, whatever there is, that's it. Jesus loves me. You get that down, you have solved every problem in life. I'm living proof of it. I'm from God. I'm telling you, I'm speaking to you from God. This is in the Bible. You get down that Jesus loves you, you got everything. I don't mean just here in your head. I mean in your heart. Get it down that you're beloved of God. You get that down, you'll never again be afraid of people. You'll never again be intimidated by anyone. You won't feel like you're just taking up breathing space. You'll feel like, hey, I belong right here. I'm contributing right here. I'm God's child. God made me. Amen?
Amen.
Now, do you think we can change this world?
Yes.
You're wrong. Can't do it. But God in you can do anything. I have no idea what He wants to do really. I don't know the details. I just know that He wants to have a good time. He doesn't want us to roll over and play dead and just say, well, you know, what can you do? What can you do? Well, here, take on the mayor. Take on, you know, the president. Take on the Pope. Take on Gorbachev. You know, there's a lot of things to do.
Yes.
One person can do anything.
Amen.
One person. That's what Zephaniah is all about. The prophets had gone astray. He was one. The priests had gone astray. The princes had gone astray. If there were any more peas, they'd went astray. Everybody had gone astray except this one man who said, I'm going to stand and speak for God. Then there was another man, Jeremiah. Jeremiah also, at the same time, lived at the same time, began to preach. When you begin to stand up, you find there are others that stand up. You're never alone. You may think you're alone until you speak out. Then suddenly there are 7,000 others who haven't bent the knee. And it's fun, it's exciting to be part of God's thing. So change the world you're in. You should be having the most wonderful, happy, incredible life that you could possibly have. Are you not?
Amen.
Could it be any better?
No.
Could it look any better?
No.
Yeah, it could look a lot better. But it couldn't be any better. This is the best world. Okay? Nothing to be afraid of. Fear not. Fear not. Say it, I'm not afraid. See, psychologically you may be, but your psychological nature is nothing. Just disregard it. I'm not what I feel. I'm what is. God made me. God said, don't be afraid. He's in me. He's with me. Even if I did it wrong, He'd still make it come out right.
Amen.
Even if I did it wrong. If David had had that rock and he'd flipped it over his head, it'd have hit the giant. If he'd have kicked a rock and stubbed it with his toe, it'd have flew up and hit the guy right in the... Boom, he'd have been knocked down. Because that was God's aim, not David. It wasn't that David was a good aimer. You know, it's true, he knew how to sling. But the truth is, it's God that's always the issue. God puts away our enemies. Anytime you think you do it, wait till the next guy. You'll find out how great you are, how smart you are, how clever you are. Hello? So it's kind of fun to be beaten up all the time, isn't it? And to get right back up again. Dust yourself off and say, let's go at it again. Because God wants you to be happy down here. He wants you to have a perfect marriage. Say, I got one. Amen. Perfect family. You know, perfect parents. Amen. Now don't go by sight. Just go by faith. He wants you to have a perfect pastor. Amen. Amen. Hey, that's good. That's good thinking. Because, you see, God hath a sense of humor. God never gives you a parent that looks right. He doesn't give you people that look right. And you don't look right. But God says, I'll make of this people my family. This is my eternal family. God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever wants to live with us. You're never going to die. Elephants die. Okay? They're not going to make it forever and ever and ever. Sorry. All right. Elephants are going to be there. Dogs and cats. All right. They're all going to be there. But what I'm trying to say is man was created in God's image. That's what God is looking for. He wants men who are made in His image to live forever and ever. Now, it hurts God that some men are born in this world and never make the decision to trust Him. They never make the decision to fear Him. They don't believe what God has said. They would rather go by what they conclude themselves. They would rather say, well, life is hard. No, it isn't. Look, on the surface, yes. In the world, you have trouble. God said that. But be of good cheer. So, if life is hard, don't stop there in the middle of the sentence. Say, life looks hard, it appears hard, but actually, it's okay because God is with me.
Yes.
So hard becomes not hard at all.
Yes.
Because with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Now, that's not just what we teach. That's what you have to live.
Amen.
You have to actually say, you know, I am so blessed. Now, I'm part of God's last troops, last deal. He's going to fold this thing all up.
Amen. Yes.
I don't have any doubt. I know where I am. I know who I am. I know what I'm doing. God is about to come back, and He wants to bring His people in. Now, as the world crumbles and falls apart, we are rejoicing and picking up all the harvest.
Yes.
Everyone else is going, oh my gosh, and jumping out of windows. We're the ones going, hallelujah, glory to God. Hey, look at this. Here's a guy who jumped out of a window. He left all his stuff. Now, if you lose your confidence, if you become frightened because they want to intimidate you, they want to take away your willpower, they want to, you know, discourage you. Look, don't worry about it. Whatever they come up with, you got another move. God always has the last word. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if it's prison. I don't care if it's, you know, debt. I don't care if what it is, you've got the last word. God says, no, I'll turn that to good too. Forget those things that lie behind. Press forward to the high. Because, look, isn't your greatest prayer in life just to know Jesus?
Yes.
It isn't to be a big shot or to be great or to be famous. That's just for fun. Imagine, you know, if your family would respect you. I mean, that'd be just be for fun. You know, I mean, to be loved by somebody. That'd just be for fun. You don't need that. You don't have to have that. All you have to have is Jesus.
Amen.
All you have, and you got that. You already have that. You already have that. You already have that. You've got it. No one can take it away. What God has given to you cannot be removed from you. Now, in the day of trouble, Nebuchadnezzar was coming. That's when this guy was speaking. He knew that big trouble was coming. So the church, smartly, had a revival. Glory to God, let's clean up. And they cleaned up their act, you know. Pretty soon they were all right. They stopped all their outward sinning, closed the bars down, threw away the magazines, turned off the TV. You know, they cleaned up. Now, the prophet came along and said, even though Israel is cleaned up, and even though there's benefit from that, I mean, that's a good thing to do. When you do a good thing, it's good. But you're still going to be judged. Because inside your heart, you still want to do all those things. I mean, no, you can quit outwardly doing things and make it look like you've changed. But inwardly, you still want to do those things. And so God says, I'm still going to judge this nation. Even though there's blessing right now and the, you know, the judgment is going to be postponed a week or two, it's still going to come. Because there isn't faith here. There's only works. Cleaning up your works is not faith. Cleaning up your life, just starting to talk kinder and nicer, that's not what God wants. God doesn't want you to get good. Don't be good. Thank God you're listening. He isn't wanting good. What He wants is faith. What God wants is faith. He will do it. Now, if you do it out of faith, okay, praise God, that's what God's after. But before you do that, you're going to go like this. God, forgive me. I'm no good. I just can't do good. You're going to say those kind of words, and that pleases God. When He hears you saying, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know anything. I'm a mess. That's what God wants to hear. Not, all right, God, we're ready. We're going into our faith mode. No, He doesn't want to hear that. We're really going to have big faith. No, He doesn't want to hear that. No, when faith comes, you don't like faith. Nobody likes faith because faith means you don't get anything. You don't do anything. All the credit goes to God. If anything happens, you can try to steal it and you can say, I'm not going to be like Pastor Jim. He's kind of still proud. I'm going to be humble about it. All right. Okay. Let's watch you humble. Come on. You're going to be just as arrogant and proud as everybody else. Hello. There's no such thing as doing it. You can't do it. So just be yourself. You're a mess, be a mess. You are a mess. I see you. Susie, I see you. You know? Yeah, you haven't fooled me. Robert, did she fool you? Nah, we had her. We had you. We figured you out.
Yeah, I'm a mess.
Amen. You still don't know it, though. You got a long way to go. I mean, it's going to be hell for you for a long time. No. You see, here's what kills you. What kills you is not seeing your sin. What kills you is that the only sin is not having faith. Not rejoicing, not being happy. That's what God wants. God doesn't want you to clean up your life and so on. He just wants you to be happy all the time. That's where you're having the problem. Now, you know, drinking booze and stuff, that isn't going to do it. Being happy is not getting your way. Being happy is just trusting God before you see it, laughing. Before you see it, praise Him. Before you see it, before you experience it, start laughing right now while you're still lusting. Start laughing right now while you're still angry. Start laughing right now while you're still overweight. You're still obnoxious. You know, start laughing now and saying, you know, other people may think I'm a mess, which they're right, but God likes me. And I'm going to just start laughing right now. Before I change, before anyone sees me changing, that takes faith. That's the miracle. That's the victory that God's after. When that happens, you know there's a God.
Amen.
The other thing, we don't trust it. When you clean your life up, that's just a little revival. They had a revival under Josiah. These guys lived during King Josiah's time. They had a great revival, but God totally disregarded it. So I don't believe in revivals. I don't want a revival. I don't believe in a revival. If there's a revival and I hear about it, I'm not even going to go. You hear me? I'm not going to go because I've read the Word. Be careful of revivals because they give you a false sense of what's really going on. Because those are not revivals of tears. Those are not revivals of faith. Those are just revivals of works. And so people change their attitude. Yes, they start being kinder to their kids and they keep their promises. Hello? I'm going to tell you something right now. If you keep your promise, then you're God. We ought to be promise unkeepers. Only God is going to keep His promise. Now hear me. I'm being pastoral. I have to do this. I'm all for it. I think it's wonderful. I think it's good. I think it's fine. But let's be honest. Let's go to the truth. The truth is, only God is good. I'm not able to keep a promise. You're not able to keep a promise. That'd be such a heavy weight. I'll tell you, it's just man cleaning up. So now we have the prophets, we have the shepherders, we have the faith teachers, we have the promise keepers, we have everybody. Okay, that's all nonsense. It's all good, but it's all nonsense. In the end, it's still not the thing we need. What we need in the end is let God do it. When God does it, we'll sit back and rejoice and give Him praise. When God does it, it's not going to be, we meet every morning now at 5 o'clock, and there's 4,000 of us, you know, meet in the back of my house, you know, so we don't really care about that. That you've now finally gotten religious. What we want to know is, did God do it all? Did you love yourself before you cleaned up? Because that is so heavy and so hard that half of the world will give up. You didn't encourage anybody. You just discouraged everybody. Well, I just can't get up at 5. Could you make it 5:30? You know, you're just going to discourage people. Anytime you do something religious, you may think you've really advanced. The truth is you've just alienated most of the church and most of the world. So it's not a gospel anyone can get in on. You say, well, you're making it too easy. Come on, people. This is the only thing you can do. I'm not making it too easy. You can't do the other stuff. If you did the other stuff, you'd be proud. I went to Gothard. Here's my big book. Now our family is in order. It isn't. You just talk now. You just have little legalistic rituals now. You're really not in love. You're really not respecting. It's good that you do things that God says. That's not revival. That's not really the restoration that God is looking for. I tell you, when it happens, it's going to be just a miracle. You're just going to go, wow, God is so good. It's true when you're revived by God personally. You will change your life. But first of all, there'll be tears. There'll be crying. There'll be weeping. They're not going to be, glory, hallelujah, I'm a, you know, nicer to live with. No, you won't be nicer to live with. Actually, nastiness will come out before niceness. You know, what we need more from you is nastiness. I wish we had nastier people. I thank the Lord that most of you are doing good. Most of you have been nasty. But a lot of you just can't be. You just can't fail. You still want to look good. That's you trying to do it. When God does it, it's such a wonder. You just go, wow, this is God. This is God. That's our church. This church is going to be built without any props, without any human dealing. It's going to be built by God. Jesus said, I will build my church. Well, let him do it. Don't help him. He didn't say that so you'd do it and then give him the credit. I'm going to tell you something. When he does it, you're going to be, you're not going to be part of the deal. You're going to be like Abraham snoring through the deal. Did he build it? Didn't he need me? I was sleeping. I wasn't even there. You know, because you want to be part of the deal. I helped to bring in the end time revival. That's always been my deal. I always wanted to bring it in and everybody else has already done it. You know, so it made me mad. I wanted to have the last vision. Come on, right? Don't we all want to be, I wanted to, you know, and so on. Well, God's not going to do it that way because he wouldn't get any glory. God's going to do it when you're not looking and in spite of you, he's going to do it and it's just going to be a miracle. Hello? So, you're in this world, learn the truth. The new attitudes, the new words, the new way of talking. Just start with voice. Just start with voice. Just start with voice. Just start with voice. I'm happy. Jesus loves me. That's all. Don't move beyond that. Jesus loves me. I'm totally happy. When you get that down, that may take a year, 2 years, 5 years. When you get that down, then something has happened. But when you start saying, I'm going to change this and I'm going to do that, and you're just back into religion, then that still is going to come under judgment. This nation, the thing is, there's no fear of God. We're so quick to do something as though we had the answer. You don't have it. Let God do it all. You hear what I'm saying? Thus saith the Lord, let me do it. I've already done it. I've already done it. It's finished. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, it's finished. Now, rejoice in that. Just go around talking now without meaning it. Don't mean it. Just say it. I love you. God bless you. The Lord has told me this. And it can be a word of the Lord, but don't take yourself seriously when you have a word of the Lord. The next minute, you'll have a word of yourself. The Lord has given me a word, and you only got two words, but you had seven others. The Lord has said, be thou encouraged and stop smoking, you know, or whatever. You're going to add what you think they need to hear. You see? And the Lord said, if you don't stop smoking, you know, because I'm kind of getting in on what God was doing. See, but he just wanted to love you. And you wanted to add, but he's also ticked off at you for thus and so. No, just whatever you hear from God, say it. It might be a direct word. Whatever it is, just say it. But start with yourself. Before you start delivering words to everybody else, just say to yourself, Jesus loves me. Till you get it down. I mean, he loves me. I mean, it's so wonderful. Because at first that seems, well, yeah, I know that. I know that. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't know that he loves you. You see, it's only if you can afford to mess up that you know that he loves you. See, you haven't seen yourself. That's why you don't know that. But the more you see yourself, what a phony you are, what a fake you are, what a wretched person you are, what a vain person you are, the more you see that. And then when he says, I love you, it hurts. It doesn't feel good. Don't love me. And he goes, Jim, I do. And that's what kills you. That's the death that we're after. Not stopping sinning. It's faith. It's faith. It's faith. Faith is the victory. We don't want faith and works. Just get the faith. The works will come of their own. Works that grow out of faith, don't worry, they'll be pure. It's that you still don't know that he loves you. You're still wanting to help God. You're still wanting to be, you know, a wonderful person and help out and so on and so forth. You still don't like being arrogant. which is arrogant. Am I not right?
That's right.
Say it. I'm right. Yes. We don't like that. We try to erase that. You know, it's not going to erase. You're always going to be arrogant in the flesh. So when God says, I love you, that just kills you. Because you know you're arrogant. You hear what I'm saying? So don't imagine, someday I will be great, like Pastor Jim. I will be humble. Of course, I've ruined that. But if I hadn't said everything, you wouldn't have known. I gave it away. But no, you're not going to be like somebody someday. You're just what you are right now. What's wrong with you today? What's wrong with you right now? Doesn't God love you? Hasn't He done it all? Why are we waiting? Let's start heaven now.
Amen.
Let's start it by faith, though. Let's not be sincere about it. Sister, I have a word from God. Just deliver it. Don't add a lot of nonsense to it. Just deliver it. Sister, and I believe right now, God's giving me... Don't do all that stuff. But we like to do that, you know. That adds a little bit to it, you know. But, you know, that doesn't impress God. Just deliver the word. Sister, the Lord has said, you know, you're a scoundrel and you need to know that. You know, I just want you to know I'm one too. And, you know, just kind of walk away then. You know, don't wait to see what her reaction is. Was that right? Amen. Actually, was aimed for the lady behind you. Yeah. No, God loves you. God loves you. Zephaniah is telling them, in the day of trouble, you'll be hidden. You are not going to come under it. Every individual, this is not a tribal deal, this is not a national deal. This is you individually. If you are of God, you'll be hidden. When God's wrath and anger is poured out, you will never be touched. Never. That is impossible for God to touch you. Now, I know in our brains we're trying to figure out, yeah, but how about so-and-so? They were a Christian, they prayed, and they got hurt. Don't tell me all those stories. I'm telling you what God said. I don't care about all your stories. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear all your stories. I don't care about your understanding of what you think. I'm telling you what God said. God said if Jesus is in the boat, it doesn't go down. Hello? Every apostle, every prophet said, I knew when I was going to die. Now, if you're not close to God, it's true, you can't hear God. But He's talking to you. He would have told you. It's true, maybe you didn't hear Him because you're too busy in your works or whatever else. But if you're a person of faith and you're relaxed and you're childlike and you're praising God, He will tell you what you need to know. God does speak constantly and continually to His children. But if you're trying to work up something, it's not going to happen. If you're not praising God and just lost and out of control in His presence, if you're trying to always clean up your life and be virtuous looking and so on, you're not going to make it. You can't have two agendas. You can only have one. I don't have time to clean myself up and also love Jesus. I've only got time to listen to how much He loves me. And that takes up all my time. You hearing what I'm saying? So when Jesus says, I love you, my natural response to that is, wow, you do? I mean, wow. You know, I don't have any words. I don't have any great, famous words to say. That's what God wants. This, that awe, that sense of awe, that should be your whole life. And out of that comes praise. That should be 2-3 hours a day of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. God, you're so wonderful. Just tell Him, God, I love you. Don't be sincere about it. Don't feel it. Just say it. God, I love you. You're so good to me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Just keep, make it up. Just keep, go ahead. Just keep going. I know you don't have big vocabulary for it because you're not used to it. This, you don't believe you're actually a worshiper. You believe you're some kind of, you know, person trying to drum it up or something. Well, you're wrong. He said you're a new creation, and you should be comfortable with worship. So don't worry about whether you understand that or not or feel that or not. Just do it. Just do it, and eventually you'll catch on. After about 10,000 mistakes, you'll catch on.
Yes.
Hello? It's the only way you're ever going to learn. Do it wrong. Do it wrong. Do it wrong. Do it wrong. Show me one child that ever learned anything by doing it right. No, they always do it wrong. They're going to color their first picture, or they're going to walk, or whatever. They fall down. Every time they fall down 100 times before they walk. They scribble all over the lines until they finally get it in. Mom, look, I got it inside the lines. And it's all over the place, you know. It's, wow, very good, Susie. You know, but it was a mess. You know, they just scribbled all over the page. Mom, I'm going to color this person. You know, and they just got their colors all over. Isn't it pretty? You know. And what is it? Oh, you know. What? As a tree. Oh, well. Yeah, it was hard for me to see. But yeah, I see that's a tree. Little kids make mistakes, but they don't care. They just keep going. That's why they're so alive. Because they're not worried about mistakes. God is not worried about mistakes. He already killed Jesus for all your mistakes. That's over. That's past. That's done. All your mistakes that you did do, are still doing, and will yet do, He paid for. Now let's get beyond that. Let's not be guilty anymore. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Well, you're in Christ Jesus. You're there by faith. So let's go the faith way. It's a harder way, but it's the better way. Because here you don't get any credit. Here you get no glory. When it's all done, I'm going to have nothing to boast on except Jesus. When I stand before God, I'll still be chuckling. Man, I don't belong in this line at all. And neither does anybody else. But I'm still going to stay there. Because Jesus likes me. He says, stay there, Jim. What if He says, all the sinners, get out of this line. You know, man, I mean, I'd be tempted right away. Whoa, you know. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand on the Word. I ain't moving. All the sinners, get out of this line. You know, whoa, I'm not moving. I'm gonna stand on the Bible. I remember all those messages I preached about God's goodness. All right, Jim. It's your turn now. Why are you in this line? You know, and I don't care what he sounds like. I'm going to be, I don't know, but your word, you like me. Did you do everything I said? Yes. In a matter of speaking. Didn't you say, this is the work to believe? Didn't you say that? Good boy, Jim. Go on my right hand. And he'll take me in. He has a good answer. The next guy, see, may stumble over that one. Did you do everything I said? Yes, sir. And he's lied, see, and they got to catch him. Go to the left. But he's not going to catch me because I got a word. I got a scripture. What pleases God is we feared His word. I didn't fear His face. I feared His word. You hear me? I didn't care about His face. I feared the word. He gave me His word and I clung to it. I said, you gave me this word and I believed on it. The guy next to me say, maybe you misinterpreted that word. Well, maybe I did. Maybe I did. That's too bad. But I'm happy anyway.
Amen.
I don't mind. I checked it out with a lot of people, but still, I could have messed up. But still, it's better to be in this line and get kicked out than to go in the other line first. So, go down lower. Now, Jesus may be really mad at me. Okay, well, praise God. But I'm going to cling to His promises that says He's not.
That's right.
I'm going to cling to His blood that said it's finished. I'm going to cling to what God hath done, not what Jim should have done.
Amen.
I don't know that I did anything right. I don't know what I did right. But I know Jesus did it right. And he's got to be pleased with that, because He said He is. So I'm going to take Him at His word. And I tremble at that word. I know I'm no good. I know that. But God said, you're all right. That's my boy. And He's blessed me. And He'll continue to bless me. And I've got evidence in this world that God is with me. Okay? But I'm not going to build a lot on that. Because that could change. You see? I'm not going to build a lot on that. But I'm going to build it all on the Word. And I'm having a great time. And I'm going to continue to have a great time in my own imagination. Because I personally have hidden myself inside of God, and He said, in the day of trouble, I'll hide you. So others may be afraid of trouble. I'm not. Let trouble come. In fact, I look for trouble every day just to prove it. That's why I like this church. I look for trouble every day. I get in trouble every day, and I prove it every day. If you can be faithful in small things, if you can make it through small troubles, you can make it through big troubles. So I just keep getting out bigger limbs, saw them off, get out a bigger limb, saw it off. Who knows how far you can go and get in trouble?
Amen.
Hello? Now, when you see it, you fear because you go, oh, my God, why did I do this? And, you know, you want to go back to the tree. But then God says, hey, where are you going? Oh, I was going to come back to the tree. He says, no, 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 just walk out on the limb. Go on, just keep going, Jim. Without faith, you know, don't waver, don't hesitate, just move on. Oh, Jesus. You're right. Would you come with me? Sure. And he just walked right out. Whoa, whoa, not so fast. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, the whole thing goes down. But he loves it. You learn after a while, you can't get hurt. After a while, there is a God. Hello? But you aren't sure. You know, at the time, you go, there is a God. But then when you get on the limb, you go, oh, there's no God. But then when you fall, there is a God. And then you go, I always knew it. I knew that. I can do that again. Until you get to the next limb. And each limb seems to be bigger than the last one. But actually, they get easier. As time goes on, it gets easier to trust God. At first, I have to admit it. I don't trust the guy. And I tell him, God, I don't trust you. Jim, do you trust me? No. I mean, yes. I mean, no. I don't know. I guess I do. I don't. You know, and you don't know. Because you're wanting to say yes, but you're also wanting to be honest and so on. And so you have to work it out in the beginning. At the beginning, it's hard to trust the guy. I remember the first time I heard it. You don't trust the Holy Spirit. I thought, that's stupid. Of course I do. And then I thought about it. No, I don't. That guy scares me to death. Because he'll just blow where he wills. You never know where he might blow. He might put you with somebody obnoxious. You know, you don't know what he'll do. He might have the church burned down the next day. And then you don't know where he's going to blow. And you got to be happy all the time. Wherever he blows, whatever happens in your life, what has happened in your life, people? Everything that has happened has not been good. It's been awful. There have been troubles and problems and confusions. Well, that's when God says, oh, no, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Don't worry about it. It's all going to turn out good. It's all going to be fine because he's with you. So all you got is him. You don't understand anything else. You just have him. Then it'll open up into something good for a while and you go, oh, yeah, yeah, this is okay. And then immediately it'll all crumble and fall apart again. Oh, no. You know, I guess I thought I had it. Did you ever think you had it and then you didn't get it? And then you think, oh, now I've got it. Well, praise God, now I've got it. I've got my theology down. 1, 2, 3. Pastor, would you let me teach? I'm ready to teach. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. But it doesn't work that way. The next day, the thing crumbles and falls apart. Some little kid will ask you a question, and you just can't even answer. You realize, wow, I don't know anything. I don't want to have this job. See, and that's how you grow. You grow by getting beat up all the time. But you just got Jesus. Jesus still loves you. Jesus is still with you. It's going to work out. Our God is an awesome God. Let's close. We really got thick into the book of Zephaniah today. We covered all the verses. Actually, you know, I read the book about 30, 40 times. So I live that book. I almost quote the book. I mean, I just want to tell you, when I read a scripture, I mean, I live it. I devour it. So we don't give a scriptural quote or a vote. It is all there. I'm telling you, everything I'm saying is Zephaniah. Everything I'm saying, I'm living in Zephaniah. It's not shallow. It's not just, well, he didn't quote three scriptures today. You don't have to actually quote. Jesus didn't. I'll just tell you that right now. Jesus didn't quote 15 scriptures when he said something. So we didn't, that may make you look religious and you may feel religious. You may feel like, we really got something today. We got 4 scriptures or something. That, you don't need that. Go home and read it yourself. You ought to be reading these scriptures. You ought to be studying this. You ought to be in the Word yourself. Don't rely on the pastor. Do it yourself. Hello? No. Anyway, the point is, it is scriptural. And this is Zephaniah. But it isn't what you read when you read it. It's what God wants to say so that when you go back and read it, you suddenly realize that's what God was saying. That's exactly what God was saying. We can talk all about the millennium and time and, you know, the Roman Empire and the Greeks and, you know, Zephaniah. But the thing we need to know is Jesus loves us. It's a personal God. Do you personally know Jesus? Do you personally know Jesus? Do you know that He loves you personally? Forget the world. Forget history. Forget everything else. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You that You are reliable, that every word that You have written is solid rock, that nothing that You have said is shaky. I praise You, Lord God, that You have spoken to us the very words of life, and that we have done that which is good. Namely, we have heard the Word of God, and we have believed. I give You praise, Lord God, that our faith is greater than any work that we might have done. Our faith is greater than any feeling we might have felt, than any understanding we might have gotten, than any desire that we might have had. Our faith, which is built only on the Word of God, prior to any work that comes forth from it, before any fruit gets on that tree, that faith which comes by hearing is the greatest victory, is the only victory, is the true victory that overcomes this world. Thank You, Lord God, for a church full of people who are learning not only the language of faith, but the reality of faith. In Jesus' holy name, and everyone said, Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen.